Greetings. We are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
When you know that God is the giver of good things, it behooves you to be in compliance. It behooves you to be faithful. It behooves you to be consistent. That's the only thing God will bless you. God will bless you in your consistency, not in your inconsistency. He will bless you for what you're mindful, not for what you forget. He will bless you for your intentional and your servitude and your humility. He won't bless you in your pride and your divination. I'm telling you, people of God, if you want to be blessed, you got to be able to put your first foot forward and stay trekking and stay on that straight and narrow path. You've got to. Distractions. There's going to be many distractions. People, life experiences, but you got to stay focused on what God has called you to, and there's a blessing in that. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you even now for the opportunity to bless your people with your word, to encourage them, to break them out of a religious thinking, and to bring them into kingdom thinking. Thank you, Lord, for we are not just hearers of your word, but we are doers also. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this powerful word. Condition our hearts so that the seed will be planted on a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone and not a heart of thorns. In Jesus'
name.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. John 15:7. And it's so cool the way God breaks down his word. And he tells you right now, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But the key thing is, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. His words are literally his words that he speaks, but it's also the words that you read in the word of God. And if you go to the word of God and if you are obedient to the commandments in the word of God, that's a sense of abiding. That's a sense of receiving what he has for your life. That's a sense of reading the word, studying the word. That's when you literally are abiding by the words that that you're reading in the word of God. You're living it. You're believing it. And you're following it. You're implementing it. That is what qualifies you to ask a thing and it shall be done. A lot of people want to ask of things of God and then want to claim that God is not real or God has favorites or God is not going to love on them, but that's not true because you got to qualify for that. Are you abiding in him? Are his words abiding in you? You just want to ask whatever you want to ask and think you're going to get it, but you're living in sin. You're living in backwardness. You're living in unrighteousness. You're not even picking up your word to even know what God is saying about your life, but you think you can ask anything you want and it comes to pass?
That is right.
So part of that, and I'm gonna talk on this because this is something that if you know anything about me, know anything about General Andrew, you know anything about what we preach, teach, we believe in tithing. We believe in the tithe and the covenant of God. We have to. I tell people all the time, you cannot afford not to. So I can't understand some of these false prophets, some of these false evangelists, some of these false pastors, yes, I call them false, who tell you you cannot tithe, you don't need to tithe. Tithing is of the devil. Tithing is of the old law. You don't have to. I can't get down with that.
Amen.
Man.
It is a setup of your demise. It is a setup for your stagnation. It is a stagnant maneuver to place you right there in a curse because that's what God says. In Malachi, if you want to know where this is found in Malachi, you could start around the 8th scripture going down to the 12th scripture. But he talks about around the 9th scripture, he says, you are cursed with the curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. God is saying even now, there are some people who want a close relationship with God. We see them. We talk to them. And they say, please, generals, boss prophets, release over my life. I want a close relationship with God. I want to move in miracles and signs and wonders like you do. I want my prophetic ear open. I know I'm called to be a prophet. And then we start not with the speaking in the tongues and decreeing over their life. We ask one question. Are you a tither?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah.
Cricket. Mm-hmm. It's become crickets on the sounds. Nothing is spoken. Silence. And they almost want to pop back and say, well, what does that got to do with anything? I said, it has everything. I said, in the natural, if somebody is coming around robbing you, but yet in the same sense they want to be your best friend, that's an oxymoron. How can you trust someone?
Amen.
There is no way. There is no way that I will befriend, right. That I will become best friends,
no.
That I will share my secrets, that I will become vulnerable with someone who every time I turn around got their hand in my wallet, still in my jewelry, still in my finances, still in my bank cards. What type of person would I be? I would be unwise. So we're made in the likeness and image of God. We got to think like that. So why would God give you his power, give you his glory? Why would he reveal the secret things to someone he considers to be a robber and a thief? Think about it.
Come on, Ma, preach.
So you got to understand it's important to understand what tithing is. You got to understand the importance of the covenant. So this isn't this type of lesson. I've taught on this, and we'll teach on it again. We'll talk about the covenant and the benefits of being in covenant with God with your tithe. I want to talk to those that do tithe. Do I have any tithers on the line?
Yay!
Amen!
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I got my tithers on the line. Praise God. So if you're not a tither, it behooves you to join the club. Because I'm telling you, we got some sweet benefits. We got some We got some awesome upgrades when you are in covenant with God. So this is for my tithers on the line. I want to talk to you today, and I want to encourage you to check your inventory. All right. Okay. I'm going to break this down, and it's going to go quick. So for people who are taking notes, you better make sure your pencil's sharpened. Make sure there's enough ink in your pen, because when you go and put down your pen to grab another one, you might have missed something. I'm going to go quick. But check
Come
your
on
inventory.
Now.
The only thing that I want to focus on is the 10th scripture. In Malachi of the third chapter. So Malachi 3:10. And I want to read it. We can pretty much quote it because especially my tithers, we know this by heart. My tithers memorize this. But I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. And it talks about, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Okay. All right. I read that. Now, depending on the translation, you can see that God says, or the translation says, you know, where in KJV it says, prove me now. Some translation says, test me in this. Now, I like that way. I like it because in our American terminology, when somebody says, test me, they mean try me. They mean make sure that you put me up to the test because I won't fail you. I'm not going to lack. concerning my promise. You got to test me in this, because I promise you, you will not be regretful. You will not even be in a position where you're trying to question if I'm going to come through or not, because I'm going to come through. Prove me.
God is the boss.
People want to trip over me and General Andrew and say, why y'all call each other boss prophets? Because my daddy is a boss prophet. I got that gangster mentality from him, because he's all in the word talking about prove me, test me, bet it up. You know, this is his language. So he says it right here, and he says, test me in this. Guarantee I'll prove you. So what I want to talk to you about is check inventory. One time, maybe months ago, I was talking to my husband about the faithfulness of God. See, we have those conversations. We're real. The same way we say on our posts and on our Facebook Live, we talk like that in our house. We'll just be out the blue. Hey, babe. He might be in the other part of the house. He say, yeah. I say, you know what? What? God is faithful. And he'll say, he sure is. And we'll end up meeting each other somewhere in a common room. Most of the time, we congregate in the kitchen, because I love the kitchen. I love to be able to talk in my kitchen. My kitchen is very open, and I have an island countertop. So we just sit at the island, and we just talk about the goodness of God. Side note, if you ever have dreams and something's taking place in the kitchen, that's usually the heart of God. That's usually the heart of God. That's usually God showing you exactly what's in your heart.
Amen.
When something's being taken, when something's taking place in the kitchen, a conversation or a certain action, when you think about phone, when you think about going to someone's home, or when you think about when you are looking at new homes, they call the heartbeat of a home the kitchen. The kitchen is where people gather. The kitchen is where truths are revealed. The kitchen is where fellowship it happens. The kitchen is where people mainly gravitate to when you're walking into a home for the first time. So this is amazing. So whenever you have a dream that shows you in a kitchen, God has shown you something in your heart or someone else's heart. If they're using a microwave, God has shown you they're impatient. Oh, yeah, it's so cool the way God uses the kitchen. So for me personally, I always love the kitchen because it's the heartbeat of the home. It's where I reveal my truth. It's where I have my discussions. It's oftentimes where things are birthed out. I don't have to be in the kitchen. Sometimes General Andrew, he'll just catch me sitting at the island countertop, and I'm just sitting. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just pondering.
Amen.
I'm just basking in God's revelation. And sometimes we'll just begin to birth out music. We'll write lyrics in the kitchen. We'll begin to share stories, and we'll begin to share topics for new books in the kitchen. So I don't know about you, but for me, the kitchen is where it all comes together. The kitchen oftentimes is where me and the Holy Spirit commune a lot. If I'm not in my secret place and praying, in the kitchen, just sitting down, just listening to the stillness of the home and say, Lord, I'm here. I just want to tell you, you're faithful. Oh, God, you're awesome. So I was sitting there in the kitchen, and I just was thinking about God, and I was thinking about his covenant, and I was thinking about how faithful he is. And I was just sitting there, and one thought transitioned to another thought, and while I was there, I began to start just looking at my home. And I said, you know what? I want some more furniture. I said, I want some more furniture. I said, I don't want just any type of furniture. I want recliners now, because I got leather. I got dark chocolate leather plush couches now, but I wanted some recliners, something that you could put your feet up on. And I said, I love that, because I just came back from one of my sister's homes, and she has this huge L-shaped couch where every chair is a recliner. And I said, I felt good sitting in that. I want that here. And then I began to look, and I began to say, huh. I said, Lord, you've been so faithful to me that you have decked my home out. I have no more room for furniture. I said, I desired something like what my sister had, but where would I put it? Because I don't want to give away my furniture that I have now. It works perfectly with my decor, but I want my recliners. And the Lord began to show me something. He said, April, do you not know anything that you ask, I will grant it to you. As you stay faithful to me, it shall be done. Going back to John 15:7, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you want, and it shall be done unto you. So I said, okay, God, I have faith in that. I know whatever I ask for, you're going to give it to me. He said, but you got to understand how I operate. He said, you have my word inside of you. You're implementing my word by being in covenant with me. He said, read what I promised you in Malachi. Now, Malachi, the 10th scripture, it talks about in the last part, and he said, I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving God all the glory. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, thank you for my praise. He said, but I'm trying to get you to understand something. He said, read the last few words of that scripture. And I reread it. He said, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, what people don't realize is that I am a generous giver. He said, but I cannot give more if there's no more room to receive.
Come on now.
Whoa.
Revelation.
Wow.
Yes, I called it. Yes.
General Andrew, I think somebody called it. Okay.
Amen.
You often find some of these confused people or some of these low-faith individuals or just some outright heathen people who tell you that tithing does not work. They would tell you, I tried tithing, but it does not work. But what they forgot to do is activate the room for more.
Mm.
Woo! My God.
Woo! About to dive in. I'm going to go. Okay. I'm about to dive in, and then I got to go. All right, check this out. I'm talking to the Lord about more furniture that's going to take a considerable amount of more square footage, and I don't have that because my house is already decked out, which is a testimony in itself, because if you understood where we come from, we had zero furniture. We were sleeping on the floor while people were enjoying life. We were given money that was supposed to definitely, well, I should tell you like this. We were seeding so heavily. We had the money for furniture, but we were trying to activate a new dimension. We were trying to activate a new promotion. We were trying to activate a new network. We said, okay, we want a bed. Okay, we want this. We want furniture. We want a kitchen table. But you know what? That money, that thousands of dollars I could spend on this and that and this and that, I could sew it. I could sew it. I could seed it. And we begin to lay on the floor. Oh, when you get up and your back is cracking, the only thing we had, we went to Walmart. And we got those foam little pieces that you could put on top of your bed. It could be a queen size, full size, but it's a little small, maybe an inch and a half thick piece of foam. And you put it on your bed just to add for an extra pillow top or extra cushion. Well, we only had that on the floor and then laid a blanket on top of it, and that was our bed. People didn't know we didn't have a kitchen table. People didn't know we didn't have a sofa. People didn't know we didn't have an air mattress even to lay down on. We didn't have a chair. We didn't have anything. But we were giving God praise like we were living in a mansion, like we were living in some furniture that cost tens of thousands of $9. Ooh, we were thanking God for our piece of $9 phone that we use as our bed. See, people don't know our story, and then they look at us and they say, how are you so blessed? We said, well, let me take you to the beginning of how, if they say, what was on your life? I want to be able to try Jesus in the way you have. You have such strong faith. What can I do? I said, okay, are you in a bed? I said, are you sleeping in a bed?
Yeah.
I said, okay, get the bed away. Donate the bed. Give it to a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to a homeless person.
Come
whatever
on.
You need. I said, okay, do you have a kitchen table? Okay, go and give it to your neighbor. Okay,
come on now.
You don't have, okay, what else you need? What else you got? Oh, you got cable? Ooh, my goodness, you living it up. Go ahead and turn that cable bill off. We were living on the less so that we can give more to God.
Testify.
Let me tell you something. So then that's why we're so blessed, because we try God. So therefore, our faith is strong. And God began to talk to me. He said, my daughter, anything you ask, I'll give it. He said, but as you ask me for more furniture, he said, why do you not have room to receive? He said, you got to understand, and whatever it is that you ask me, you got to first check your inventory if you have room to receive it. You want more furniture, but yet you tell me you need more square footage. So
come
then
on.
I ask you, daughter, since you asked me for furniture, I'm going to ask you, daughter, why are you still in this same place in this small square footage? If you want more furniture, why aren't you in a larger home?
Wow.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Giving
Woo.
It to you.
Love it.
He said, oftentimes people want to think that I don't come through, but it's because of their lack of faith or their lack of awareness. It's because of that's what the lid has given them. Whatever their faith or wherever their faith has stopped, the lid closes and you have no more expansion, and then you want to cry out to the Lord, I need more, I need more. He said, I don't work off of you begging me. I work off of your faith providing room for me to give. So in other words, if you want furniture, it's time for you to upgrade. It's time for you to get out of this home, he said, and it's time for you to go and double your square footage. It's time for you to look for a home that's now going to give me more room to give you more than what you
thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
He said, don't just look for something that will give you the furniture that you desire. He said, because remember, daughter, I will give you exceedingly, abundantly,
above
all that you can ever ask.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So me and my husband began that very same weekend home shopping, mansion looking. We've been looking at some of you all even saw some of the pictures. I said, God, you just blew my mind. You blew my mind with that revelation. He said, when you get a home, he said, don't just have enough room barely to fit your furniture now and the furniture you desire. He said, get it big enough so that I can give you the overflow, so that I can give you the
glory.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Some of you all might be saying, well, I don't care about furniture. I'm telling you, it works in every area of your life. Some of you all might be saying, you know, I'm a tithe payer, but Lord, I've been believing you for a bigger car. I got a little small hoopty, and I want a big SUV. And God is looking at you and saying, you can have it. You are a tither. You're in my covenant. He said, but
that's
I got
right.
a question for you. Where are you going to park this big old hoopty, well, this big old SUV?
Come on.
Where are you going to park this big old minivan? Whatever it is that you want, do you have room enough for it? Some of you all work on the street. Some of you all don't even have enough
Glory.
For the small car. Some of you all can't even park your small car in the space. So God is saying it's time for you to elevate your faith. It's time to move and
Hallelujah.
Move.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Place. It's time to relocate to a place that could fit your SUV, that could fit your
hallelujah. Hallelujah for confirmation. Confirmation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This is my tithers on the line.
Thank you, Lord.
You say, well, I already got a car. I don't want to swap out the car I got, but I want another car. And I've been believing God for another car. He told me he will pour out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. So where's my other car, Lord? So then God is saying, as you ask me for your additional vehicle, I ask you, where are you going to park that second vehicle? You only got one parking space to your name.
Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord. One car garage only fits one vehicle. It's time to upgrade to get a two-car garage home. I think you're getting it. So now, let me try a different area. God would give you. See, a lot of people have the misconception that when we read the scripture and he's going to pour out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it, we only think finances. We only think money. Money is always going to be like an open-ended situation. You're always going to be able to receive more money. Even if you're a 100 millionaire, you can make room for 200 trillionaire. So God is saying, I not only give you money, but I also supply my covenant and fulfill this covenant in other areas. In the tangible and intangible.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.